Well, I want to talk today about heavenly Jerusalem. There's Psalms 122 and 6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." And I picked this verse especially because I want to encourage children of God to pray for anybody, anywhere, at any time. But there is a misunderstanding in the world a lot of times about Jerusalem, and there are requests at times to pray for Jerusalem, the physical country, city, pray for Israel. And you know what? Anytime anybody asks me to pray for anybody, you know, I have no problem praying for somebody. There's something God can do for them. All right. And so, but there's something more than the physical Jerusalem that we're a part of and that we're praying for. And this verse, especially in the time that we live in, has been taking to that level that we pray. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we want to know what the Lord's asking us to do here. And he's asking for something more than just offering prayers for any physical city anywhere. This is a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. And that's what we want to look into and think about this morning. I want to write that on the board. Heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem, and the burden and what the Lord has given us this morning, what we desire to share is how that this is a heavenly kingdom that we're a part of right now, that the Lord's brought us in. And I say that specifically, and it's important to understand that this is not just something to just pass off this morning. We want to have the truth on this, because as innocent as it may seem to just be in this situation to pray, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, the devil has a substitute for every single thing the Lord asks. I'm becoming more and more convinced. I don't know everything that's in the Bible. I know that maybe one day I'll come across something and the devil doesn't have a substitute for it. But I've seen so far, I believe more and more lately, especially God showing me that Satan has a substitute. He has sin that he tries to get the whole world to take part in, to go and do things we know are directly oppositional to God. But then he has a whole other thing that I feel like comes under the angel of light verse in the Bible. And it's that substitute that he offers that seems like maybe what the Bible's telling us to do, but yet it's a substitute, and its purpose is to prevent us from truly attaining to what God has for us. It's a little bit of a roadblock he's trying to put there. Okay, keep away from this, keep away from this. You know, I can't get you to sin, but if I can get you away from what the depths of what the Lord has for you, then you won't be as strong as you would have been, and maybe I can get you somewhere down the road, or maybe I can lead you into confusion or something. So it's important to understand the truth of what the Lord's asking for us and to get the fullness of it. And so in this aspect, that's our burden today, that we understand when the Lord asks us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's a request for a spiritual kingdom, for a heavenly kingdom that we are a part of today. So let's look into some verses. Let's turn over here to Psalms 132. And we'll pick up in the 11th verse. And you pray for us, because y'all know my attention span sometimes is a struggle. The Lord helps me in mighty ways. I'm amazed at what he's able to do. And there's a building process to this message, I feel like, this morning. And I want the Lord to help us to do this in the right way. So please remember us and pray for us here. But let's read here in the 11th. And it says, "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, and he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore." So the this verse right here, as the Lord is speaking here, this is a verse of prophecy. This verse right here is something just as the law kept things in a certain place until the coming of Christ and he fulfilled that. The whole Bible pointed to Christ coming to fulfill what is written there, to bring everything to the level that God originally wanted it all to be at anyways, to the spiritual kingdom. And so this verse here means more than God's going to have a child that can trace his lineage back to David always be on a throne over in the physical land of Jerusalem. All right? As long as there was a kingdom in Jerusalem, there was a child of David, there was a child of David sitting on that throne. All right? But this all pointed to there's something coming, and that's what, by the help of the Lord, we'll bring out today. And eventually, this throne will be consumed, and one who comes from, who is a descendant of you, he will consume this throne, and it will become the kingdom it was always meant to be. And that, of course, is Christ, who sat upon there. And he says, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. So this is even a promise more than just there would be someone, but that there would be someone that we all would reign in this life through that one, through Christ, that we all might reign. And to help us a little bit with the point here we're trying to make, I want to look at a song here, verse in song number 200 in our Evening Light hymnal here. Do you triumph, O my brother, over all this world of sin? In each storm of tribulation, does your Jesus reign within? The Lord, by his Spirit, reigns in our hearts and our lives today. And with him, we reign because he reigns. Because he lives, we live. Because he reigns, we reign with him. Over what? Over, is it over this, you know, each other, this world? It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual reigning over the power of sin. Victory over the devil. Everything that the devil is. Sin, all the despicableness, the destruction, the defilement that is who Satan is. Because Christ reigns, because he was that one that fulfilled and took it from an earthly kingdom to a spiritual kingdom. And because of him and through him, we now reign with him if we keep his covenant. If we enter into this covenant with him, this man, you know, like Abraham sat there and he kept things away until the Lord passed through that place. And there was a covenant made between them that, you know, I will be faithful to you, Abraham, if you will be faithful to me. And that's the covenant the Lord is offering to us today through Christ, that if we will choose to be faithful to him, he will be faithful to us, and we can reign in this life in every storm of tribulation. I'm reigning, sweetly reigning, far above this world of strife. My feet are still on this physical earth, but there's a reigning with the Lord that in the midst of my feet being on this physical earth, my soul and my spirit reign with him in the midst of all these things, over all the sin, the spiritual kingdom. You know, no matter what the kingdom of Israel reigned over when it was here, there was never this freedom. It was all pointing to something greater than just that we would have one day. One we held as king immortal, he did earth and hell subdue. And bequeathing us his glory, we are kings anointed too. You see, through him now we reign, all right? Shall we then by sin be humbled? Must we yield to any foe? No, by heaven's gift we're reigning over all this world below. Oh, what grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be, raised from sin to royal honor, even reigning, Lord, with thee. All is this life as blissful sunshine. Earth is subject at our feet. Heaven pours its righteous blessings round our throne of love complete. I am reigning, sweetly reigning in my blessed, loving Savior. I am reigning in this life. So these two verses that we just read here were a promise to us now today that if we would keep his covenant, that we would reign and he would teach us, and that we would, this would not be something that's an up and down. We just sang that song, the blood of Jesus. Must I suppose I'm right today, tomorrow think I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay. No, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. The blood of Jesus was victorious. He is not battling for supremacy. He has supremacy in this spiritual kingdom. Now, the Lord has supremacy, and he's offering that same thing to us. This is what this verse is talking about, that we now can enter that covenant and have victory in our life through Christ, who died for us, who was risen again. And we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but let's read a little bit more here. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. And cling to that verse in your mind, so to speak, because we'll bring some verses out that clarify exactly what this now is talking about. As long as it was the earthly kingdom, well, that's the Zion it was pointing to. But it was pointing as a type and a shadow of something to come, of something that was coming one day. And now we have access to that Zion. All right. And the Lord says, he alludes to that. He said, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. There's something coming. The Lord, you know, if we set ourselves back in this time when this is being written, there's something coming, and this will be my forever rest. You know, at this time, there was a Sabbath day, because that forever rest, it was a type and a shadow again, pointing to this day that's coming. That this is my rest, the Lord's saying. There's coming a day, and he could have here said, and my son will come down, and he will give himself on the cross, and he will rise again from the grave, and he will come sit with me in heaven beside my throne forevermore. My spirit will go out, and this will be my rest, an eternal rest, that as a soul enters into that rest with me and a part of this kingdom, though they're still grounded on earth, they can reign with me in this time. And that reigning is something that will just go on forever. One day, all this will be destroyed and taken away. And now it will just be, we're all together in heaven. And we're going to have some verses about who all is a part of that kingdom. And, you know, we're kind of can't see each other. We see us, you know, and you know, somebody makes a testimony of faith and you see the effects of that spirit in their life and you begin to see, well, that seems like a child of God right there. But you know what? There's still even a veil in that, so to speak, as long as we're on this earth. But there comes a day when the whole kingdom of God will be in one place together and we'll see everybody. The whole, there won't be any doubts. There will be no veils at all because it will be all torn away. And now the kingdom of God will be together forever. So this is a forever kingdom. This is his rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. You know, I want to, Lord, help us to get this out. I would invite you to search the streets of the earthly Jerusalem and find where this is happening. This, you will find errors and holes in this being applied to an earthly Jerusalem. You will find them. You will find them at any point in time in history that you go there and you look for this. You will not see that this is what's happening in Jerusalem. But in the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, is your heart bereft of comfort, your soul a cheerless spot? Say not Christ is in your desert, for I can believe it not. We walk through some hard places, but as it says in the valley of Baca, he maketh it a well, and it springs forward. It's blessings. Though the earthly man fade, our heavenly is renewed day by day by day, and daily in the kingdom of God and amongst his people, those who are walking by faith with him and allowing him to do what he is intending to do in our lives, you will find that he is being faithful to this every single day. And you can walk through the streets of heavenly Jerusalem, and if there's somebody, if we have a lack, listen to this, and God help me to get this out right. If there is somebody who doesn't have bread, it's because you're not eating it. Amen. That's why you don't have bread. You're picking something else up, or you're just not picking up what God has for you and eating, because the provision is there. You will not find a single alleyway in the kingdom of heaven where there is not provision made for His people. Because I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The Lord has bread for us day by day. It's about us picking it up. If we're hungry and we're lacking, Lord help us to see. I do not say this in condemnation at all, and I don't believe the Lord says it in condemnation. I believe he says it in pleading with us to believe and have faith that he is trying to provide to us whatever it is that we need. He has shown us through his word, story after story after story, where he provided for his people. And yes, they fussed and they complained, but it wasn't because it wasn't there for them. It wasn't because the shoes didn't last for 40 years. It wasn't because the manna wasn't there to eat. It was because they weren't satisfied to take the provision that the Lord had for them. You know, that's a lesson to us today. The provision is there in this heavenly kingdom, day by day. Lord, help us. Lord, help me to take it up and eat it and be thankful for what God has given me and watch what it does in me. Like the mustard seed that turns into the greatest of all herbs. This is what God's put in my life. I look at that little mustard seed and I say, what is that going to do for me? Plant it and watch. Watch what it does. Pick up the manna. What is that going to do for me? Pick it up and see. Pick it up and take a bite. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him, that rests in him. This is what the Lord has for us. And he has it for us right now. It was fulfilled in Christ. We are now able to enter into this rest with him that's an eternal rest. This is what the Lord desired. There's nothing, you know, we can say, well, we're waiting for heaven. Don't do that. Chances are you're going to miss it, because what the Lord has for us, it started with Christ. And we take part of it now. And yeah, one day there will be something torn away. The veil, the earth will be destroyed. And now we'll be with the Lord forever in his kingdom. And all, but there's nothing new waiting to happen. That's just where we can see what's, that's already all here. Every bit of what's going to be there is here right now, except that this world will be destroyed. So a new heavens and a new earth will I make. All right, so there will be a new place to dwell, but the fullness of who God is and what he has for us, we have access to right now. And now is when we should be actively a part of this kingdom and taking advantage of all these things he has for us here, of the salvation he wants to clothe, of the joy he wants to put in our mouth and in our hearts to shout aloud for joy, of the bread that he wants to give us, and of the provision he wants to abundantly bless us with. We're not waiting for a day for this to start. It starts now, and if you wait for it and you don't partake of it and you don't pursue it and you don't get after everything that the Lord has for you, well, you're running a risk of missing something here and possibly forever. Don't do that. Take active part in what God has for you now, because now is when this message is applied to, these verses are applied to. And it says, there will I make the horn of David to bud. All right. There will I make the horn of David to bud. It points to a day when the kingdom, the horn of David is basically the kingdom of David. And it's going to come a day when it's going to bud. And you remember the verse in it's in Isaiah 11 and 1. It says, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's earthly father. Out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So this is pointing to saying, look, this is all waiting for a day, and then I'm going to make it bud. Here on this earth, it's going to bud. And that was fulfilled in Christ. All right. So it says, I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. I was thinking about a verse over in Mark 12 and 35, where Jesus was speaking with them, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? And so what he's alluding to is he's just he's just an earthly, completely earthly being, and he's just coming to set up an earthly kingdom. How do they say that? Why do they say that? Look at what David himself said by the Holy Ghost. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so the Lord, in prophesying about this, David, in prophesying about this Messiah, said that the Lord, God Jehovah, said to my Lord, Jesus Christ, sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. So if the Lord himself called him Lord, whence is he then his son? What? How is he not something more than just a son of David that's going to finally establish this earthly kingdom forever? There's got to be something more to this Lord that David was talking about, to this king who is coming. All right? And that's what he's pointing to and saying there, that this is not just someone who's going to set up an earthly kingdom, but he is something more. He is David there in that time. It's already calling him Lord, because Jesus already was there. He hadn't come in the flesh as Jesus, but the Word was with God in the beginning. And so David owned him as Lord right there in that prophecy, owned him as Lord. And so Jesus, who came down from heaven, really came down to make that kingdom accessible to us. And David saw that. He said, well, you're sitting in heaven, and you're going to, you know, people are going to say you're a descendant of mine, all right? You're going to come through my family, so to speak, but you were the Son of God. You were there in heaven this whole time, and you came down in a moment to destroy your enemies, to destroy Satan, who had the power of sin and death, and to destroy him in the moment. And so we see how he already was pointing to something more. David knew that I'm just a type and a shadow. This isn't the fulfillment of everything. There's this Lord who's coming to give us access to this heavenly kingdom. Romans 2, the second chapter. Romans 2 and 28 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. This was a transition verse. A Jew had been someone who fulfilled these things and was outwardly a Jew. But this is a transition verse where Paul is saying, this isn't how it is anymore. The heavenly kingdom has been opened to us, and that was all a type and a shadow of the rest, like what God said, this is my rest. This is what I've desired. This is my habitation forevermore. Here it is. It's now been made accessible. And so now he is no longer a Jew that is one outwardly. Well, yeah, they still claim the name and all that. But the Jew and what it meant in the kingdom of the Lord, now it's something more than that. It's someone who has had his heart, was the carnality, the flesh, the things of this world cut away from his heart. And no longer is that what his physical heart. No, we're talking about the heart of soul, the soul of man, that the flesh has been cut away and it's been removed from that life. And now this soul is worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, whose praise is no longer of men. Why? Because it's no longer that's the kingdom he's no longer a part of. That's not the kingdom he's a part of anymore. He's a part of that heavenly kingdom now, and where the glory and honor and praise is to the Lord. And that's where we receive our honor from, is from God and from him and who he is. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and we'll start with the 18th verse. Again, thinking about Zion, that 13th verse there that we read in Psalms 132, and it spoke of Zion. And here it says, For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard, retreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. For so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. This was Mount Sinai that they came to, that where the old covenant was established. After they had come out of Egypt and traveled, and they came to Mount Sinai where the commandments were given to Moses on a tablet of stone. All pointing to something different. And they couldn't touch it. They couldn't really be a part of it because the actual presence of God where it was, they couldn't be a part. They could get all these types and shadows, and they could get the commandments written on stone, but they couldn't be written in their heart, and they couldn't really access God, and God couldn't dwell in them. There had to be a separation still, because anything that touched the mountain must be stoned or thrown through, because the way was not yet made to be a part of this kingdom, to actually have it enter into us, and we couldn't have full access at this point. All right, but that's not the mountain we've come to. We're not. That's where the earthly Jerusalem came out of, and the earthly Israel came out of that, and that's what that was all a part of. And yet, in all of that, there was never a way made that there could truly be access to this kingdom, this heavenly kingdom. They were all types and shadows of this to come. It said, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." To an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You have now come to a heavenly kingdom. And I feel like we've gotten to a point where we've built through this, and hopefully we see at this point that this is why it's important to understand that we're a part of a heavenly Jerusalem. That the way has been made for you to dwell in the presence of God, for the presence of God to dwell in your life. This was the rest that the Lord was pointing to that would come. And this right here tells us that we have access to it now. That we're not waiting for a heavenly Jerusalem. But we have access to it, and we're a part of it now. Its way's been made. If it hadn't been made, then we couldn't stand it. We'd still be stuck in the old time. But it's been made for us to have the presence of God that once would have destroyed us if we came in contact with it. We couldn't enter into the holiest of holies. Even the high priest had to go in a very specific way once a year, and only because it was part of the shadow. He wasn't allowed to just go in. All right. If something happened like that, then there was death that happened. When the guy reached back and stabled and put a hand on the ark, and he's tried to stabilize it, as sincere as his desire was, there was a separation that man could not exist in the presence of God. Sometimes we take for granted too much what we have access to today. We're too casual, and I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling us, Lord, help us to get a hold of to not be casual with the fact that this kingdom can dwell within us today. It's only because of that sacrifice, because it would destroy us. We could not have that presence. That same presence would destroy us in the same manner if the way had not been made to be a part of that kingdom. And to be a part of this heavenly kingdom. And so we see here, it says, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. These are all part of the heavenly kingdom. It's all in the works right now. It all exists right now. All right? We just can't see it because we're still on earth and we're living by faith. But when our eyes are opened one day, it won't be because those things were suddenly created. That suddenly there was an innumerable company of angels that are a part of this kingdom. That suddenly there's a general assembly church of the firstborn that we couldn't see maybe. That suddenly God is now, we're able to be in his presence all of a sudden. Think about that. All of a sudden, able to be in the presence of God. The Lord's given us access right now, today. for his presence to dwell in us in this life. And it's just a matter of our eyes being opened one day to see what's been going on all the time since we accepted Christ as our Savior, since we were born again in this kingdom, since Jesus came and gave us access to this. We sell ourselves too short sometimes. We sell our opportunity too short sometimes. The opportunity we have. We think too much in terms of this world and this earth. And we don't think of what the Bible actually says and what the truth actually is, that we have access to things that we will see one day, but they're here right now with us. The presence of God is right now with us. If you're a child of God, He is with you. He is around you. And by His Holy Spirit, He can be in you. And you can be sanctified and made a tabernacle meet for His presence to dwell in. Lord, help us. God, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. I want to set Him free in my life. By faith, I want to set Him free to do whatever He wants to do. I want to stop living in the confines of thinking I'm just somehow, God's just helping me through this world. I'm a part of a heavenly kingdom right now. And God has given me full access to these things and has commanded His angels to watch over me and His Spirit to go before me and to win on my path and to give me the strength and power I need in life. And His grace is in. Within. Oh, thank the Lord. So, Hebrews 13 and 10. Let's look over there. It says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. I don't want to be poor. It said one place in Galatians, Paul said, after you've been set free, I'm not going to get it quite right. How is it that you're being pulled back? Oh, you foolish Galatians. How is it you're being pulled back into these things? And we say, well, we won't be pulled back into that. But when we walk short of this heavenly kingdom, what we do, we fall back into an earthly presentation of it, a substitution that lacks the real presence of God working in our life and working through us and setting Him free to do what He wants to do in our life. And so we have access to an altar where they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, might set us apart, might make us meet to be a temple for the Spirit of God to dwell in, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city. When we pray for Jerusalem, we're praying for something that's not here on this earth. We don't have a continuing city here. We're part of something that's heavenly, that will never... It has no need of being changed. There will be a new heavens and a new earth created to dwell and live in, but the heavenly kingdom we're a part of is eternal now. We now have access to that. All right? We have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thank the Lord. John 18.
I didn't even notice how late we're getting, and I apologize for that. Let's look here in 18 and 33rd verse, all right? And this is the crowning of our King, all right? It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So maybe with the help of the Lord, we'll bring this to a close right here for today. There are more things, and maybe we'll just continue this at a later time if the Lord is willing. But I want us to get a hold of the fact, right here in these verses, that Jesus was a king. That he's not waiting to be crowned one day. That he was a king, he came in the world to be a king, and he succeeded in that, in being a king. All right? And everyone that is of the truth heareth his voice. We're not going to find him in some earthly place by people directing us. Well, this is where he was crucified. This is where he was born. That's all wonderful. And like I said, as a Christian, we want to pray for anything and everybody, everywhere. Pray for God to have mercy. But with the Lord came, and the kingdom he's a part of is a kingdom based on truth. Based on our willingness to make a covenant with him in truth and to walk in truth with him. And it's something that can't be touched by this world. It's not a continuing city of this world, but it's a heavenly kingdom that we have access to right now. You pray for me.